good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I say that every night, don't I? You ever get bored with the things that you do every single day? Same thing, same pattern, huh? Nah. We mentioned last night about how all of a sudden there seems to be great emphasis on whether or not a candidate can, for the presidency, whether that person be Democrat or Republican, can talk freely and openly about his or her relationship with God and, of course, Jesus, since they're only Christians running. There's a Mormon, but you know what I'm saying. They're all talking about it now, and the interviewers have no problem bringing up or deliberately focusing on these religious questions. It's almost like there's a religious test now to be a candidate for president of the United States, which obviously is absolutely, totally, completely, strictly forbidden by the U.S. Constitution. But never mind. This is 2007 and Bush is America. So people have to declare their close walk hand in hand with God. And it's starting to get on my nerves, as you could well imagine. I would imagine it is getting on the nerves of people who have a religious belief. I'm not talking about the nutcases on the Christian fundamentalist right. I'm not talking about them. But just people, maybe, I don't know, if you're a Jew and you hear these people talking about their close relationship with Jesus, it's like, whoa, if you're a Muslim, if you're nothing, if you have no religious affiliation, to hear these people talking so intimately about their close relationship with a cloud being is a bit unnerving to someone like me, perhaps to someone like you. So having said all that, there's a new word. It's not mine. I forget where I got it. Maybe it was a letter to the editor in the New York Times. I'm not sure. But since there is so much focus and emphasis now on how a candidate expresses his or her relationship with God, perhaps there should be a new qualifier to be president of the United States, and that would be one's faithiness. Do you like that? Kind of like truthiness? Faithiness. Faithiness. How strong is your faithiness? Oh, I talk to God every single day. Do you really? Yes, and sometimes God answers me. As a matter of fact, it was God that told me to run for president. Really? Yes. Well, then you're way up there in the faithiness, right? Oh, yes. Oh, no. So let's see if we can get this word publicized. Faithiness. Somebody's faithiness index. What is it? How many times have you had a conversation with a cloud being? What time of the day or night does that occur? Under what circumstances? Are you on a first-name basis? Do you avert your eyes? Has God appeared to you in a cloud or a pillar of fire? A tree? A snake? What? Let us know. Share it with us. What is your... These are the kinds of questions, I think, that are pertinent to a candidate for the President of the United States, don't you think? They must be. Since the famous television personalities who are conducting these interviews seem to hone in on this question, and since the candidates seem more than willing to say, instead of saying, get out of my face with that kind of a question, ask me what I'll do about global warming. Will you pray to God? No. I'll try to make sure the carbon emissions are cut back 80%. Why? Because God told me to. Oh. Speaking of all that, at CNN's Democratic presidential debate on Sunday, Wolf Blitzer asked the candidates by a show of hands to say whether they would get rid of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on gays in the military. All eight of these candidates raised their hands. Yeah, we'd all get rid of it. And over loud applause, audience applause, former Senator Mike Gravel shouted, "It should have been gotten rid of 20 years ago." Applause, 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 applause. In contrast, when Blitzer asked the Republican candidates the other night, is there anyone here who believes gays and lesbians should be allowed to serve openly in the U.S. military? If you do, speak up now. There was nothing but silence. No one raised their hands. According to Think Progress, which is where I just absolutely stole this little tidbit, thinkprogress.org, there was nothing but definitely silence. No one raised their hands. And I can imagine, can you imagine those 10 moral midgets standing up on the stage, kind of looking at their feet, and you hear the crickets in the background? As it is stated, Think Progress, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is weakening our national security. Since the policy was instituted, at least 11,000 service members, hundreds of whom had key specialty skills like, being able to speak and understand Arabic, have left the military. It's incredible, isn't it? Now, boys, how about you Republicans? Anyone think Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be deep six? It is kind of silly, isn't it? In 2007, aren't we about the only country left on Earth? Well, you know, except other religious fundamental nutcase countries, most of which are Muslim, that deny gays the right to do whatever the hell they want to do, especially go kill and pillage and burn and loot just like heteros? What is it? What is it with the denying gays the right to kill and be killed in a conflict? Are we protecting them? I'm sure you know that the psychopathic Bill O'Reilly on Fox News has compared people who oppose participating in Fox News' presidential debates. He's compared them to Nazis. Most, if not all, of the Democratic candidates, I think, too. I think Dennis Kucinich and who else? I think one other Democrat has agreed to go on this filthy, greasy network and participate in this. But for the ones who aren't going to be there, O'Reilly calls them Nazis, claiming they lie, distort, defame all the time, and that they use propaganda techniques perfected by Dr. Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi Minister of Information. Fellow news anchor on Fox, Morton Kondracki, who is also a half-witted psychopath, claimed that the Democrats who won't come on his filthy, greasy network are not about free speech, but they are guilty of junior-grade Stalinism because they won't come on this filthy, greasy, pretend network. Well, now Roger Ailes says he's the guy who is the CEO and the one who started Rush Limbaugh's greasy, filthy career. Roger Ailes says, quote, "The candidates that can't face Fox can't face Al-Qaeda, and that's what's coming," end quote. So there's a little more truth there than this bloated waste of human disease Roger Ailes is willing to admit, and that is he's equating Fox with a fundamentalist religious terrorist group. Well, okay then. You can't face Fox and you can't face Al-Qaeda. Ha! Unbelievable. These people sometimes, when they open their mouth as wide as they can, almost to the point where the hinges are going to snap, and then they very carefully and consciously insert both feet, two knees, at other parts of their lower extremities, and then swallow. You can't face Fox News. You can't face Al-Qaeda. You know what, Roger? You're probably right. We're going to take lots of calls tonight, so get in here. 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Malloy on the Nova M Radio Network.
I don't have much to offer him. I'm very small, you see. But I can love my Jesus. And he can still love me. And kinda all I want to do is satisfy my Lord. And be the bestest Christian boy in all the whole wide world. I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the
Fear of state religion, that's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
What? 21 past the hour. Now look, if you are if you have a spiritual dimension, please don't take me all that seriously. I'm just a freaked out atheist, and freaked out because I used to be a believer, and then I went through the conversion therapy, and. Am not anymore, but if you subscribe to religion, you know, good for you. There's an awful lot of good that's done by people who say that they are religious. Of course, they would probably do it. Those sorts of people would probably do it with no religious training or belief system at all. There's an awful lot of atheists who do a lot of humanists who do a lot of good too. I my position. If you're a regular listener to this program, I'm just so absolutely convinced that religion has been one of the drags on the human race for probably 10, 15,000 years. It just doesn't make any sense to me in a positive way. And I know a lot of times people listen to the program. They like the program. They like what I talk about. But, they believe a certain way. Or they're Christians. They are liberal or mainstream Christians, and they hear me and they say, oh my God, this guy is like a devil. No, I'm not. But I can't get my head around it, and I also despise people who flaunt their religious belief, because it usually comes, a velvet-gloved fist, and inside the velvet glove is a steel fist full of nails and death and plague and murder and nuclear bombs. So, if you believe a certain way, that's certainly your business. Speaking of Republicans, in a recent letter to donors, Robert B. Asher, who is a prominent Republican in Pennsylvania and a fundraiser for the Republican Party, he wrote out to potential donors and he said, quote, I am proud to say that I have agreed to be the state political chairman for Mayor Rudy Giuliani, end quote. That's in Pennsylvania. Now, he's got another claim to fame. He was convicted in a famous corruption case 2 decades ago, right around the time Giuliani was making his reputation as a federal prosecutor in New York State. As the Times reports, Mr. Asher, a Republican National Committee man, well, of course, who has worked on several major statewide campaigns, of course, was convicted in 1986 of bribery-related charges as part of a scheme to award a no-bid contract to a company in exchange for promises of $300,000 in payoffs and political contributions. Now, you may remember this. The case became nationally known when his co-defendant, some criminal named R. Bud Dwyer, who at the time was the Pennsylvania state treasurer, okay, pretty high executive branch office in the state of PA, he called a news conference and shot himself to death in front of TV cameras and spectators. Remember that? Do you remember? Now, that was 21 years ago, but I remember that. I remember the cameras were rolling, and of course, when you saw it on the nightly news, they didn't let you see, it would be the right side of his head come flying off in bone fragments and gray matter, but that's what the guy did. Now, Asher at the time was the state Republican committee chair, and he was fined and sentenced to a year in prison in the case. And he was contacted by the Times for a telephone interview yesterday, and he said, well, his conviction was a long time ago. So it doesn't count. So like Bush, the stuff happened. Asher said he was moved to support Giuliani because he believes Giuliani can win. Well, that's certainly a good reason to support somebody. Why are you supporting Satan? Well, I believe with all his power, he can win. Oh. He says, I believe the man has proven himself to be a leader, and I like the job he's done in New York City, end quote. Another criminal. These criminals get involved in Republican would-be, wannabe Republican administrations before they even become Republican administrations. They're all corrupt. And don't forget Carrick, the former police dude in New York that Giuliani wanted to be the head of Homeland Security. And matter of fact, Bush was ready to go along with it until it turned out that Carrick was somebody right out of a Tony Soprano episode. Giuliani is a filthy, dirty man. And, you know, he's got as much help or the chance being president as I do. But here's, you know, here's this letter from Robert Asher, convicted felon. I want to be, I don't know, maybe he'll make me the attorney general, huh?
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
It's, well, that ended quick, didn't it? 26 before the hour. If there is Hieronymus Bosch type of hell, I'll tell you, there another soul is down there today, and that is Jim Clark, the former sheriff of Selma, Alabama, this violent, psychopathic, very large racist who made his bones during the infamous Bloody Sunday march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. This is the scene you've always seen where John Lewis and MLK and so many civil rights marchers were trying to march to Montgomery. They started in Selma, Alabama. They were marching up the highway. It was on March 7th, 1965. And you remember the pictures of the sheriff's posse is what they called them, thugs who were specially selected by Jim Clark to beat up on Negroes, men, women, children. It didn't make any difference. Jim Clark, I don't think anyone knows how many actual lynchings he may or may not have been involved in, but this guy was a real bastard. I mean, just an absolute bastard. A fleshy-faced bear of a man is the way the Times put it, who stood 6'2 and weighed 220 pounds. He walked his large way through the civil rights era with a gun and a lapel button that had a single word on it: never. Anyway, he claimed that all those people that were trampled on Bloody Sunday. This is what he said: "Quote, I didn't beat them; they fell down all at once in one big swoop." And last year, he told the Montgomery Advertiser newspaper, basically, I'd do the same thing today if I had it to do all over again. I don't get these people. Now, oddly enough, this sick old bastard lived to be in his 80s. How old was he? 86, 84? Just stayed on this planet about 60 years beyond what he should have. So Jim Clark is toasting him his feet in hell tonight. Andrew Young, who was involved in the civil rights marches, became ambassador to the UN, mayor of Atlanta, Congress member of Congress. Andrew Young said, oddly enough, as the years went by, most of the the prominent civil rights activists like him, like John Lewis, and of course the list goes on, they could sit down and have a cup of coffee with some of these old white men who had done everything to stop them from having basic human rights. And the blacks and the whites could sit there, Andrew Young said, and kind of loosen up and talk about it and look back and kind of laugh, if you can believe that, at the troubles that occurred back in the 50s and the 60s. They had matured or gotten past it. But Andrew Young said one time that Jim Clark was incapable of that until he drew in his last breath. I would imagine he was just a mean, racist, murderous old bastard who just... would have done anything he could to prevent people from experiencing their own humanity and being full participants in the American system. What an evil, evil old man. And the world, or America, is better off. The air is a little clearer tonight because this old pig is gone. And one other, well, I've got a couple of other things here, but... it was confirmed. It's confirmed in the Guardian of the UK in today's paper that the CIA operated secret prisons in Europe where terrorism suspects could be interrogated and were allegedly, they have to put that word in, tortured. That's the conclusion of an official inquiry that will be released tomorrow. And despite denials by their own government, senior security officials in Poland and Romania have confirmed to investigators for the Council of Europe that their countries were used to hold some of George W. Bush's prisoners that were captured after 9/11 in secret. None of these prisoners, of course, had access to the Red Cross. They were tortured, what Bush and the CIA called enhanced interrogation methods, which is... a phrase taken right out of the Stalin or the Soviet Communist Party's interrogation techniques, enhanced interrogation methods. And, of course, Bush and Gonzalez, after setting things up, Gonzalez, so that Bush could authorize terrorism, of course, Gonzalez sits there, the lying little bastard. Whatever happened to him? Is he still walking this earth? Gonzalez, Alberto, is he? Yeah, okay. He would sit there and say, no, we don't do torture. And Bush says we don't do torture. Anyway, the report says that NATO signed an agreement with the U.S. that allowed civilian jets used by the CIA during its so-called Extraordinary Rendition Program to move across NATO states' airspace. The NATO Charter, which I probably have never read, but I'm sure that it precludes torture, just like the Geneva Conventions do. And it precludes member states being a party to torture. But you can see how, you know, we mentioned the other night how Bush has corrupted everything. He's turned everybody into a liar, into a co-conspirator, into a murderous, oh, man. The report will state, quote, we have sufficient grounds to declare that the highest state authorities were aware of the CIA's illegal activities on their territories. And the report goes on to say there is now enough evidence to state that secret detention facilities run by the CIA did exist in Europe, in particular in Poland and Romania. So two states that, well, Poland, certainly, where the death camps were set up by the Nazis of the 30s and 40s. So many death camps were set up in Poland. I don't know about Romania. I'm sure there were death camps in Romania. Because the Nazis were hell-bent on murdering every single Jew on earth. And Bush and his crime family appears to be hell-bent on murdering every single Muslim on earth, given the right circumstances. So the mere idea that the Polish government, for God's sake, so to speak, aren't they good Catholics in Poland, that they would allow... Given their history and how the Nazis forced the building of these death camps, of course, the Poles probably didn't give a damn. They were not in any manner, for the most part, friendly with the Jews at the time or respectful of the Jewish faith. But having had their history exposed now, the Poles, on what was done on their territory, and now they allow detention centers where torture is conducted by the United States. This is so vile. It is so evil that it is, no, it doesn't equate with Bergen-Belsen or Treblinka or any of the death camps. Of course not. Not yet. But how do those death camps get started? So here are the Poles and the Romanians and who knows who else allowing the United States to build torture facilities in their territory. Okay, when I see a story like that, and I came across it this afternoon, and then a couple of our listeners forwarded me the link from the Guardian of the UK. I have to stop and go, no. No. That can't be. And, of course, it's out there now. Dan Egan, writing in the Washington Post, writes that Vice President Dick Cheney told Justice Department officials that he disagreed with their objections to a secret surveillance program during a high-level meeting in the White House March 2004 and urged the lawbreaking to go on. Now, damn it, what is it going to take to remove these two? Here is the second in command, actually the first in command, of the United States government ordering the law to be broken. Why did we impeach Clinton? Oh, that's right, he lied about what he and his girlfriend did. And here sits Cheney and Bush just violating every single law and tenet of the Constitution, the document they were sworn to uphold, and the Democratic Party leadership says, well, no, we're not, going to impeach him. We don't have enough votes. we got real business to attend to. A White House spokesman declined to comment. This comes from testimony from what's his name, former Deputy Attorney General James B. Comey. The meeting came one day after White House officials ran out to then Attorney General Ashcroft's hospital room and tried to get him to sign off. And when everybody refused, that's when Cheney overrode everybody and said, "Do it." Oh my God.
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Oh, we've been commenting a bit on the crackdown by the military dictator and one of our favorite allies in the Far East, Pervez Musharraf, General Musharraf, because, you know, we contribute billions to the Pakistan military, and I guess we have to because the Pakistanis have nuclear weapons, you see. So they're Muslim, and they have a nuclear weapon. Let's see, Iran is Muslim, and but there have been some... an awful lot of focus on Hugo Chavez in Venezuela because he refused to renew a license of a television station that called for his violent overthrow especially when the United States Navy had a vessel offshore the last time he was overthrown. This is a duly elected president. This is kind of like what happened with the Palestinians electing Hamas to be their legal representatives. Oh, no, 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 said the United States and Israel. So Chavez gets elected, and no, 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 says the United States. So the screaming and the gaseousness that has erupted on right-wing talk radio about Chavez and the utter absolute silence where it concerns Pervez Musharraf, the dictator, the general, the dictator of Pakistan. Now it's getting worse. The police have arrested in Pakistan, have arrested more than 300 political party workers over the past few days in a crackdown. The Home Secretary told the independent channel GEO Television that the police had arrested 312 local political leaders, and GEO Television now is under pressure. Musharraf signed a decree Monday giving a government regulating agency powers, stronger powers over the news media and the ability to rewrite regulations without recourse to parliament. And this decree, kind of like what Bush does, adds to the pressure on the three main private TV channels, which have been told to stop live coverage and stop live political talk shows. Their transmissions were blocked for several days across much of the country. Now, do we hear about that? No, we don't. Why not? Why not? 200 people were arrested Monday and Tuesday, another 150 detained overnight and early Wednesday. The police have also registered cases against 200 journalists, including seven prominent correspondents and editors, accusing them of interfering with the government. Oh, but, hey, listen, don't pay any attention to that. No, 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 no. Hugo Chavez refused to renew the license of a station that was calling for his violent overthrow. That's where you focus your attention, Mr. and Mrs. America. Hugo Chavez, freely elected, bad man, bad man, bad man. Pervez Musharraf, dictator, overthrew the last government. Good man, good man, good man. Chavez refuses to renew license. Oh, dirty rotten Nazi. Musharraf, who is arresting journalists by the scores and closing television stations and threatening people and jailing people and killing people. Good man, good man, good man. Does Hugo Chavez harbor bin Laden? No. Does Musharraf? Probably. Does this make any sense to you? But be a good news consumer here in the United States of America. Be a good little news consumer and a good little talk show host or talk show consumer. Don't pay any attention to our great and wonderful ally in Pakistan, General Pervez Musharraf. No, don't pay any attention to him. Pay attention to Hugo Chavez. Astonishing. Journalists and editors in Pakistan said the government was cracking down to prevent coverage of Musharraf's suspension of the Chief Justice, Iftikhar Mohammed Chowdhury, and of the violence in Karachi, Pakistan, that resulted as that came about as a result of his ouster. 48 people were killed there on May 12th. 48 people killed. How many people have died since May 12th, in Venezuela, in an attempt to overthrow Chavez? I don't think any. But you see, Musharraf is a dictator, and we love, the United States loves dictators, especially if they're military. Oh, my God, we love them. Whereas Hugo Chavez is a populist elected by his own people. I know that's hard to swallow. Just like the Palestinians elected Hamas. No, 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 no. We want democracy in the Middle East, but not that kind of democracy. We want democracy and open markets in South America, but not that kind of democracy and open markets. What kind do we want? The kind we control. Anything else? Not acceptable. Non acceptable. So when, the next time, I know you're not going to do this because I don't do it either. I was going to say the next time some right-wing thug that you have to work with or sit next to in church says to you, what do you think of that Hugo Chavez? You know, you can always come back with a real snappy comeback and say, what do you think of that Pervez Musharraf? Or maybe not. We just look at this stuff and go, oh, my God, and talk about it on the program, right? All right, quick break. When we come back, your phone calls here on the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It is about 7 past the hour. They are celebrating in hell tonight, as I mentioned. Sheriff Jim Clark, the guy who said all those civil rights protesters that crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge on their way to see the governor and were beset upon by dogs and people on horseback, all white, of course, guns, truncheons, clubs. All those people fell down all by themselves all at one time, and old Sheriff Jim just couldn't figure out. He was almost as bad as Bull Connor. The South has produced, during the Civil Rights era, of course, and continues to produce, racists of an order that would have fit in very comfortably with Hitler's SS. So another welcome addition to hell tonight, Sheriff Jim Clark. All right, let's do some. I just mention that again because he was particularly was one who turned my stomach. I remember seeing pictures of it a couple of days after it happened, way back then. All right. To your phone calls. We're kind of open tonight on topics, so bring it on. Ryan is calling from Montana. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hello. I was just going to comment on something you said early in the beginning of the program, and you said that all of the candidates running were Christians, and then
right.
You segregated and said, well, one of them's a Mormon.
Right.
And I was wondering why you would do that. Why would you say
Because the Mormon faith separates itself from Christianity. It's not me. I'm not a theologian. But I have read the Book of Mormon. And they have an entire different belief system from what the so-called Christians do. So, you know, it's not...
I think that the LDS people are very much consider themselves to be Christians.
Okay. So we have a difference of opinion. So what?
Well, do you is there a problem you have with it? It just seems like you have a bias.
No, I have a bias against all religions. I think all religions are idiot boxes. Once you get in, it's damn near impossible to get out. You know, the Christian faith does not talk about a lost tribe of Israel coming over here and setting up camp in someplace in Pennsylvania and burying gold-plated tablets. Come on, get rid of it. Ryan, if you called up to pick a fight, I'm not interested. Goodbye. I have absolutely no use for the conversation, so adios. Have a nice night. You know, I don't care about religion. You know, the Mormons themselves separate, they call everybody else Gentiles, you know, including anyone who's not a Mormon is a Gentile. So kiss my grits, Ryan. Go away.
I'm going to hazard a guess Ryan's not a regular listener or he would know you're an atheist and care not for any religion.
No, people don't call me from Montana for no reason. Of course, he listens all the time. These are people who listen very carefully. Night after night after night, trying to find a wormhole that they can fit themselves into and call me up and say, well, you're wrong on that. And they can't do it politically, so they come up with this religious claptrap.
Because you really are an equal opportunity employer there when it comes to talking about religion.
I have no use for it. And I'm not, I don't attempt to define what religions say about themselves. The Mormon Church refers to everyone who is not a Mormon as a Gentile. What the hell does that mean? They consider themselves to be descendants of one of the lost tribes of Israel. Let me think a minute real quick. Oh, that would be a Jew! Go away, Ryan. God, I hate ignorance. Joel is calling from Oakland, California. Joel, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Please, no questions about Mormonism, okay?
Fair enough, although there's a very large Mormon temple about 5 miles from my house.
Oh, well, you have my sympathy.
It's big and bright and uses up many, many thousands of watts of electric power every night to keep the whole place lit up. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, I was listening last night. I also have to say my heart just goes out to one of your callers. I think her name was Caroline. She was from, I think, in Santa Barbara, California, and just talking about. Anyway, just wanted to say that, Caroline. I hope you're listening. I'm here in Oakland, and my heart goes out to you. I haven't read Sinclair Lewis's book either. It Can't Happen Here, but as it happens, I just started Joe Connison's book, which is titled It Can Happen Here.
Yeah.
Authoritarian Peril in the Age of Bush. And I just wanted to throw a couple thoughts out there. First of all, in the introduction, Connison mentions that Sinclair Lewis himself apparently said in private that It Can't Happen Here was a bad book. In other words, in terms of the writing, he apparently banged it out in about 3 months, over the course of 3 months, I think because he was scared. I think he saw what was happening and wanted to get something out there, and it made a huge splash, of course. Now, I think it's pretty clear that it hasn't happened here quite yet, but it's happening.
Well, I would split hairs on this. There's a difference between fascism as it developed in around the turn of the 20th century and then took root in Europe and mostly in Europe. The Japanese, we call them fascists, but I think that was a monarchist imperialist. I don't know. I don't think it was fascism. But what we have in the United States that has been slowly metastasizing ever since Roosevelt is what is referred to by people a lot smarter than me as corporatism.
Or corporate authoritarianism, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Corporatism, corporate authoritarianism. And when you look at what has been happening since the Reagan years were the first years I became aware that lobbyists for various industries would go into private sessions with senators and members of the House and write the legislation for them that would favor their industries rather than favor the American people. Now, when you have something like that happening, if that's not corporatism, it's loosely a good loose definition of fascism, but I think it more solidly holds with something called corporatism.
Sure. Hey, I'll get off the line after one more comment. I know that, you know, you said you hadn't gotten to the book, and neither have I, but in Connison's book, pages 5 through 7 or 5 through 8, right at the beginning, he gives a really interesting and frightening plot synopsis of It Can't Happen Here.
Oh,
and the parallels between his characters and the people in the Bush regime, of course, you know, Connison is playing up the parallels. That's the point of his book. But if his synopsis is accurate, it's pretty frightening.
Yeah, I've got to get that book because Joe Connison is one of my favorite all-time writers of current affairs and political stuff and so on and so forth. I read so much of what he writes at the New York Observer, his columns. The guy is amazing to me. I have just tremendous respect for Connison, so I've got to get that book. Thanks a lot, Joel.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
All right, you too. Yeah, we haven't had Connison on for, what, 2 years? It was back in the Air America days. No, it was back in IE America. It was before Air America. I need to get that book, Kathy, and I need to read it. We need to get him on and talk about it. My God. Steve is calling from Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you, bud?
Doing fine. How are you?
Hey, thanks. You know, I wanted to talk about Giuliani tonight. You brought him up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Giuliani and Gotti went to bat 3 times. Giuliani lost 3 times. And then he goes and recommends Bernie Kerik for the Homeland Security chief, and he didn't want it vetted.
Right.
And then found out Bernie Kerik's with the mob.
Right.
Do you think maybe Giuliani lost those trials on Gotti on purpose?
Well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes you scratch your head and say, what's up with that?
Yeah, I have zero respect for political respect for Giuliani. A lot of people who live in New York say, you know, he stepped in as mayor at a time when New York needed a semi-fascist hand to clean up the streets and murder all the homeless and make crime come down and clean up Times Square. Hey, hold on a second. I got to do a break, Steve. Let me come back, all right?
Sure, thanks.
We'll come right back to Steve. A lot of people say Giuliani was the perfect big city neo-fascist mayor because he just would take no nonsense from anybody, and as a result, you have people like, Amadou Diallo, the 41 shots, or was he the one that had the broomstick shoved up his rectum? So, you start to become what you create, and Giuliani to me is a thug. Past the hour, Steve. That was Amadou Diallo who was shot 41 times because he held up his wallet or cell phone, whatever it was. And of course, that's the Springsteen. That's from the live performance of that song. And I can remember. Maybe you can remember when the New York Police Department got very pissed off at the boss for having written the song and performing it. Remember?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Giuliani was I don't know. He certainly cleaned up the streets of New York, and I think a lot of people who lived in the city at that time were just happy as a mudlark to see him do it. But he did it in a way that resulted in songs like 41 Shots.
Yeah, so. Nothing like human rights, you know.
Right. Well, there's a time when human rights got to stand aside for law and order. That's a Reagan idea.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he's the first guy. What did he make, $100 million on 9/11? First guy to go out and capitalize on his, you know, his dealing with 9/11.
Giuliani is an awful man, and I think the reason he's an awful man is because he's an utter hypocrite. He's running to be the Republican nominee, and the Republican Party hates gays. It would do anything that it can to screw up their lives. And Giuliani makes no secret of the fact he has gay friends, and he thinks it's perfectly okay, nothing wrong with it. He's in favor of gun control. You know, his politics, I can agree with. It's his hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
That chokes me to death. I can't stand these people.
Right.
That's why I can never figure out what the hell a log cabin Republican is, a gay person that votes a Republican. I just don't get that.
I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, Mike, something else that scares me to death, too, is that Halliburton detention camps that they're building around the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's been those have been there since Oliver North ordered these camps to be cleaned up, and then Halliburton took over, I guess, and built some new ones. So yeah, they're ready.
Yeah. Well, I got to go, Mike. Thanks for
all right.
My call.
Appreciate you checking in, Steve. Have a nice night. Abner Luima, thanks to Jim James Risser who sent this to me. This photograph, I'm sure you've seen it, of Abner Luima, the one that was raped, anally raped with a broomstick in the police department after he'd been arrested. And, oh, God. This is another Giuliani adventure. And Giuliani's attitude towards people like Amadou Diallo and Abner Luima, the attitude was being charitable here. Screw them. You know, first of all, they're black-skinned. And secondly, they're not even, you know, they weren't born here. They're not from here. To hell with them, you know. So as far as Giuliani is concerned, you know, he's a joke. He's just absolutely laughable. And running on the Republican ticket, here's a guy that cheats on his wife. His children had to put up with the mistress coming over while the wife was there. His children are pissed off at him. He's running as Republican. And what is it? Oh, that's right. He was America's mayor. Oh, okay. He strode among the debris in a disaster caused by members of his own party at the highest levels. Oh, that's right. Republicans are just no damn good. Just no damn good. We have another break coming. All right, we'll hold off on the phone calls here for just 14 seconds. Let's do some more 41 shots as soon as you can.
You can get killed just for living. You can get killed just for living. You can get killed just for living. Your American skin.
Is committed to dealing with poverty. First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
Oh, God. All right, David Swanson and Josh Marshall, both are writing at afterdowningstreet.org and Talking Points Memo. about Congressman Gerald Nadler, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties. He said today, either today or yesterday, there's no question that the warrantless wiretapping engaged in by the Bush administration is a felony offense, and that Bush and Gonzalez engaged in a criminal conspiracy worse than Watergate. Nadler was referring not to the mysterious program that the acting attorney general refused to support in that rush to Ashcroft's bedside. Nuh-uh. What Nadler's referring to is the program that the attorney general approved of. Now, Nadler said he finds the lack of attention to the obvious criminality of Bush, Nadler's word, incredible. And as David Swanson writes, you know, maybe the same could be said of Nadler's failure to support impeachment. You know, I can't stand it when I see a Democratic senator, someone like Gerald Nadler from New York, who states categorically that there's a criminal conspiracy at the highest levels of the government that is worse than Watergate, and Nadler won't support impeachment. My God. I sure do wish I understood that. I wish I understood what my Democrats are trying to do. Oh, well. He's a criminal. He engages in criminal conspiracy to commit felonies against the people of the United States and the Constitution of the United States. Here it comes. And the son of a bitch is still in office. Sorry. And the Democratic Party leadership in the House and the Senate say, well, no, we can't impeach him. No. Back to your calls. Kevin is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah. I just want to give a suggestion to a lot of new so-called Christians out there.
Okay.
They need to start reading more Confucius and Eastern philosophy, which basically states...
What sort of philosophy?
Confucius.
Oh, Confucianism. Okay, your voice is very mushy on the phone you're using.
Hold on. Hello, can you hear me now?
Much better, thank you.
Okay, yeah, Confucius philosophy, which basically states, I don't know if there's a God or not, and it's really not my job to really find that out. All I'm looking to is make life here on Earth the best it can be.
Well, but you don't have to be religious to... That's a humanist point of view.
Yeah, but you see a lot of them are anti-that.
But that's an atheist point of view. That's a Wiccan point of view.
Yeah, and that's the source I got it from. It's probably several point of views, Mike.
Right, but what I'm saying, and what the Free Thought Society and the atheist societies in the United States have said over and over again, you do not have to subscribe to some religious credo or dogma in order to be a decent human being.
Exactly, but you see, a lot of these people suffer from deep-seated guilt.
And fear, and razor-like fear. They can't face their own mortality. They can't face the fact that the decisions they make are not guided by some cloud being who reaches down and says, well, you're going to die of cancer, and you, we're going to kill your kid in a car wreck, but you, we're going to let you win a lot of money in the stock market. I mean, that's insanity. It's a definition of craziness.
Yeah. Now, you know, not to challenge you or anything, but I do believe in God, but I don't believe God makes me a good person.
Well,
I believe I'm a good person because I have control of that.
Well, what purpose does your God serve you?
I just think there's just a higher being up there that's making sure the atoms are in line, the sun rises and the sun sets. The God I believe in doesn't necessarily cures my gout and makes sure my stock goes up. It's kind of like the balance of nature.
Well, what does this God do for you?
It's a source of comfort, I guess. You know,
okay, how is it a comfort? I'm really curious.
Mike, I couldn't explain to you, and again, I don't want to debate on religion. I really don't.
Well, no, I don't either. I don't think you or I are qualified to debate religion. We're not theologians. You're a believer, I'm a non-believer. So, you know, right away, we're north and south, east and west, yada, yada. But I'm just listening to you, and I'm just asking questions as you carry the conversation forward.
Yeah.
What is it you get from this God?
Well, like I said, it's a source of comfort, you know.
But I'm asking you, how is it a comfort? Let me rephrase it. How is it a comfort?
I guess a mental comfort when really you're in, at least for me personally,
okay,
like when you don't really feel like sharing your problems with other people, you share it with your own thoughts, or you communicate.
Oh, okay. There you go. You share it with your own thoughts. You talk to yourself, which is okay. You address your superego, your higher self, not some cloud being, in my opinion, not somebody who.
Well, you see, a lot of that, what you're talking to me, is just folklore. You know, it's like, you know, God is not necessarily in the clouds or anything like that.
Ask a Christian where God lives.
Well, you know,
ask a Muslim.
Well, you see, again, those.
Oh, for that matter, ask a Jew. I mean, you know, ask him, where does God live? He doesn't live on the corner of Broadway and 125th.
I think the God I believe in is everywhere, and it's in everyone and in everything.
Okay,
you know?
All right. Well, I hear you, Kevin, and you know, John Lennon said a long time ago, whatever gets you through the night, so.
Yeah, and that's basically it. It's getting you through the night.
Okay.
One other thing about Giuliani.
Yeah.
With the log cabin Republicans, is the same reason why they're black Republicans. A lot of these people are very wealthy individuals, and they want to get into the mainstream.
So they will elect a party that will do everything it can to destroy their attempts to get into the mainstream.
Well, you see, there are two Republican parties. There's the money Republican, and there's the
Uncle
Dragon Republican, right? The North.
Kevin, you and I are disagreeing left and right tonight. I believe that any African American, and I don't speak for anybody other than myself, but I believe that
I'm African American. So
okay, well, I, you know, forgive me for saying this, and I hope all our gay listeners forgive me for saying this, but I think any African American, whether he's a hetero or homosexual, any homosexual, whether he's African American or not, people who in those categories who vote Republican are. There is some element of inside them that is self-loathing. You don't vote for a political party that does everything in its power to marginalize you, demonize you, destroy you, prevent you from fully participating in everything the society has to offer, and not be somehow on some level self-hating. This is the weird part, Kevin, of the society makes us hate ourselves on some level. Most of us will find something that this capitalist society tells us is wrong with us. We don't drive the right car. We don't live in the right house. We don't dress properly. Our skin's not the right color. Our hair's too kinky. Our religion is wrong. Our non-religion is wrong. Our sexual orientation is of the devil. And on and on and on and on and on. Now. There is a political party that pushes all those points, hammers those points, and it's called the Republican Party. Yeah. So in my opinion, not being black and not being gay, which therefore makes me arrogant for saying this, but in my opinion, black folk, gay folk who vote Republican are committing suicide.
And you're absolutely right. But the thing is, money and greed produces strange bedfellows.
Well, they do. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Bye.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. Let's go from the sublime. That was that conversation with Kevin to the ridiculous. Doc sent this to me. There's a question floating out there right now all over the media. A couple of times today, I couldn't believe this. I'm watching Charlie Gibson in the ABC Nightly News, and the third story tonight was Paris Hilton being released from jail. Okay. But, Doc, the question out there, Doc writes, the question out there, does Paris Hilton make a mockery of the judicial system? And the answer is not really. She's exposing a small part of it. The fact that you can get out if you have money, that's the part being exposed. It's good to let lots of people be reminded of this, especially the brain-dead fan she has. Now, let's carry it one step further. The person making a mockery of the judicial system is Alberto Gonzalez. The group making a mockery of the judicial system is the Supreme Court. So, you know, Paris Hilton be damned. She's just, a hair on somebody's ass somewhere. The person making a mockery of the entire nation is George Bush. So what else is new? Even Bush knows there are two Americas within his own political base. He calls them the haves and the have-mores. Where do you think Miss Hilton fits? And that's all we're ever going to say about Paris Hilton. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rest assured, don't get your money's worth. With this show, it happened all right. You gotta see the show. It's a rock and roll. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll. Oh, right before your eyes. People laugh up from the skies. And he laughs until he cries. And he dies, and he dies. Come inside, the show's about to start.
It's coming through a hole in the air.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
It's about 10 before the hour. See, I've always harbored a suspicion, and I'm probably wrong about this. I'm probably so wrong. But I've always had a suspicion that Giuliani has had presidential aspirations for a long time. And the fact that his police department had no problem gunning down people of color was something that he saw as part of what would be his unspoken ticket into the White House. this is America. This is a very racist society, especially for people over the age of 35. And the way you make your mark or make your bones in this country, if you're going to be a tough talking politician, is kill a few Negroes on the way. You know, just kill a few Negroes or a few dark skinned immigrants or. If you can't find any people of African descent to kill, then, you know, get a few Puerto Ricans or maybe a Mexican or a Guatemalan. But it has to be people of color. Now, if Abner Luima would have been named Joe Carnegie Jones or something and would have been just a very white man, or if he would have been Swedish, or if he would have been an immigrant from England, what do you think would have happened? That's right. He wouldn't have been shot to begin with. Abner Luima, if he would have been someone named Sven Horsky from Sweden, what do you think would have happened to him when he got to the police station? You think he would have been raped with a broomstick and had his guts turned into just a mass of blood and ruptures and wounds? I don't think so. I don't think Sven, with his blonde hair and white skin and blue eyes, would have been brutalized like that. So, you know, it was true 50 years ago. It was true 30 years ago. It's true today. It's just not as, not as openly acceptable today to make your bones to become a national political figure. You think I'm kidding? Ricky Ray, what was his last name, Kathy? The one that Clinton, the certifiably mentally retarded man in Arkansas, Ricky Ray Rector, who Clinton... Bill Clinton in 91 or 92 left the campaign trail to go back to Arkansas to be in the state capitol building. Governor Clinton did, so that he could supervise, whatever way the governor does that, the execution of a man with an IQ of about 67 points. I don't know what Ricky Ray Rector did. I'm sure it was a heinous crime. I'm sure that the jury heard the evidence. I didn't hear any evidence. All I knew was that Bill Clinton found it acceptable if I'm wrong, then I'm going to be very embarrassed, but I think Ricky Ray Rector was a black man, wasn't he? Wasn't Ricky Ray Rector a person of color? I think he was. Huh? Best way to make your political bones in this country? If you're white, kill a few people of color. Right? Oh, man. Well, what does it say at Wikipedia? Ricky Ray Rector was executed for the 1981 murder of a police officer. He robbed a convenience store, during executions, functionally retarded. Bill Clinton returned to Arkansas to preside over Rector's execution. He was executed with lethal injection. It took 50 minutes to find a suitable vein, and so on and so on and so on. It doesn't say what his race was, but if you're executed in the United States, odds are you're black. So, but I'm just rambling here. Back to your phone calls. AJ, the music machine, is calling from the Catskills in New York. Hey, AJ.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
I'm doing, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Well, good evening to the whole Malloy family.
Well, thank you.
I think I figured out a way how to raise money for Nova M. We need to take about a half dozen of us, you and maybe Sarge and the poet and some of the more colorful characters who call in, and then we need to have a pool, you see, and people can bet on when in the next year one of us is going to take an ice pick and put it in our eye.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that would raise a ton of money.
Well, it won't be me.
It won't be you.
No.
You talk about it often enough.
No, I speak in my thigh.
Oh, my mistake. Listen, before...
In the words, the famous words of Rosanna, Rosanna, Dana, Dana, never mind.
Yeah.
Or was that Emily Latella?
That was Emily Latella.
That was Emily Latella. Never mind.
Listen, before I get on to my point, I got to just... This kind of irritates me when people refer to atheists, and atheists themselves, I might add, refer to themselves as non-believers. That drives me sky high. You're not a non-believer. You're a believer. And what you believe in is as valid and then as real as anyone else. In fact, more real than what a lot of people believe in. But certainly as valid.
I think
when you say, you know, I'm a non-believer, I think you inadvertently put yourself in a class you don't want to be.
Okay, that's probably true. But you know this, AJ, the dominant culture, whether it's, I don't care what it is, can be the music culture, can be the racial culture, can be the religious culture. They set the agenda and determine the language that's going to be used.
Yeah,
so
true that.
They are believers. Therefore,
yes.
I'm a non-believer. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, fine. Look, what I called about... The reason I haven't called you in about four weeks is my modem got fried.
Your modem got fried.
And of course, you know.
I hate fried modem. Try broiling it next time. Hey,
yeah.
Hold on a second. AJ, you got to hold on now.
I'm here.
You've just been wandering all over the map. Now I got to put you on hold. So stick around, and we'll chat when we come back. And we'll chat with the rest of you folks. Stick around. Stick around. Final hour of the Malloy program coming up on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. Back to the phone calls. We're talking with AJ, the Music Factory from the Catskills, New York. AJ?
Yes, sir. What I called to tell you about was that because my modem was zapped by lightning, I couldn't get you and I couldn't get anything on the computer for a long time until that was replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And so I resorted to listening to Air America. I listened to that on and off, but I had to listen to it constantly in order to get my lefty fix.
Right.
And so I listened to talk show hosts that I really don't like for various reasons. Two or three of them I really have big problems with.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened. And some of the things they were saying made sense. And I had a kind of an epiphany, and I'm crazy about your style, and I've already said a dozen times that you're certainly a voice that articulates what's in my head. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that we don't have enough of these guys, these liberal talk show hosts, to really abandon them, and I think that we have to lend everyone our support. When I say support, I don't necessarily mean financial support. I mean, I choose to give to Nova M, but to listen and to weed out the what we consider to be garbage, but to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I'm just terribly afraid of a circular firing squad in 2008, and I think that can take that can take one of two wet forms. One is that the politicians will do it. The Democratic politicians will screw up the election. It's certainly not beyond them. We've seen them do it before, and in many ways they're off to a fine start. But another one is for us to be fighting amongst ourselves to such a degree, the left wing of the party, that we tear ourselves up. I don't know if I'm making myself as clear as I wanted to make myself, but
No, I hear what you're saying, but I have to respond by saying certainly not everybody on Air America, for example, is a liberal or a lefty by any stretch of the definition. Lionel, this freak they hired for to replace Sam Cedar in the morning. He's a self-avowed libertarian. He's not a left libertarian. Check out his position on certain issues. He's not. He belongs on where he always was, WOR,
yeah.
Which is a radio station that is pretty much right of center. Just because it's Air America, I mean, there are talk show hosts on that network that should be supported, that should be listened to. I really think there are. But as far as just saying, well, Air America is the liberal network, no, it's not. It has some liberals on it. It started out as a liberal network, but it's not a liberal network any longer. It is at best a DLC network that is going to be the type of network that will support Democrats, mainstream, so-called mainstream Democrats. And AJ, you know this as well as I do. Mainstream Democrats are not liberal.
No.
There's no way to say that that Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John Edwards are liberals. They are not. They're Democrats, certainly. But I hear what you're saying about circular.
But Mike, let me ask you then: are we in a position to cast aside anybody who tears up Bush? And I guess what appeals to me, this is what I'm trying to say, is that yes.
You mean a politician or a talk show host who tears up Bush?
Both, but in this case, talk show host. This is what I'm trying to say to you is that I listen to these people and I have a lot of problems with a lot of things they said, but damn it, they tear up Bush on a daily basis.
Well, so are Republicans tearing him up now. So what?
Yeah.
You're not going to support a Republican.
No.
What are they tearing Bush up on? The Republicans pretty much on the immigration thing, because Republicans are racist and Republicans are nativists and Republicans belong to the Pat Buchanan school. Of racism. It's very subtle, anti-Semitism, but it's there. So you're not going to support a Republican because he's tearing up Bush. Why support a Democrat for the simple reason, or a liberal talk show, a so-called liberal talk show, because he's tearing up Bush? That's I realize I'm making a fine point here, or a subtle point. Maybe it's too fine, too subtle. Maybe I'm your typical Democrat who does lock and load and turn to the nearest Democrat and fire. I hope I'm not that way, but I don't believe in total purity within the party. But I'll guarantee you I've had it with the Democratic Party. So
Me too. I
hear what you're saying, but don't convince yourself, and I know you haven't because you're a smart guy, that Air America is a liberal network. It started out that way. It is not that any longer.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a damn shame. Hey, listen, before I go, I just want to give a shout-out to Sarge, who has tried to contact me. You know, he uses, as his theme song on Sunday mornings, he uses a song that my wife composed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're trying to get more airplay out of that. And, you know, we were just about getting going on a lot of that stuff and coming out to Arizona ourselves for possible concert and more exposure when things went down with my computer and I couldn't get in touch with anybody, and he moved. So I'm just giving a shout out to him and saying, I haven't forgotten you, Sarge. I'll be in touch with you in a few days.
Sounds good to me.
And meanwhile, Mike, you know, as usual, welcome back from your vacation. Don't ever go on vacation again. Ever, 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 ever. You're not allowed to leave.
Okay, you got it,
AJ. And thanks for your good work.
All right, thanks, AJ. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate
it. Bye.
You know, one of the issues regarding Giuliani that I've not talked about, and it's not being talked about in mainstream media, it's in the blogosphere, is the arrest of the independent journalist associated with CNN, affiliated with CNN, on orders of a Giuliani aide, because this young man, this reporter, Matt Lepicek, I think, had the audacity to ask hard questions of Giuliani at an event where the press was present. Now, at yournewreality.blogspot.com, there is, and other places, there is a report of this. The reporter, Matt Lepicek, was an accredited journalist with CNN. He had a reason to be there. He was escorted from the venue by police, later released on $400 bail. According to reports, Lepicek, I don't know how to pronounce the name, I apologize, I'll say Lepicek. Lepicek was scared because he had been told he may be transferred to a detention facility because state police were also considering charges of espionage against him because he had a webcam. That's what he was using to broadcast live at the event. State police considered it to be a hidden camera, which led to discussion of espionage. Wearing a webcam at a press event is not an act of espionage. Alex Jones, the famous talk show host who is watching the live feed, witnessed Lepicek announce that he was wearing a camera connected to a laptop that was transmitting the press conference live. When Lepicek announced that he was broadcasting live, Giuliani staff members responded by getting upset at his questions and ordering his arrest. Now there's more. Lepicek is being tagged a conspiracy theorist because of the questions he was asking about the 9/11 attacks. But as the video clearly shows, he was only asking the Giuliani aide why the presidential candidate had changed his story about key events of the 9/11 attacks based on quotes from Giuliani mainstream media interviews over the past 6 years. So this is the guy, this is why Giuliani appeals to the rabid dog right in this country. The fact that he has no problem with gay folk, the fact that he believes in gun registration, the fact that he's pro-privacy where it concerns a woman's business with her doctor if she wants an abortion, that really doesn't matter. Giuliani, you see, will order the execution on the street of black people for no reason, A. B, he will treat the press like dogs if he sees an opening and a chance to do it. He wouldn't have done that to someone like Wolf Blitzer. But he did it to this guy Lepicek because he can. The same reason a dog sits down every 10 seconds and licks his own scrotum. That's Giuliani. Come to stay.
forget tonight how much he hates these people? It's More of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Quick email here from Bridget, who writes in about believers. Bridget writes, once upon a time, humankind knew there was something beyond themselves, whether this was wishful thinking, because contemplating ending and nothingness is much too frightening for the psyche to consider, or whether because there really is a part of consciousness that transcends physical incarnation. None of us will know until we face that abyss. But once upon a time, humans tuned to that possibility. We knew that trees had spirits. We knew that animals spoke and brought us teachings. We knew that our ancestors walked with us and that there were spirits who tried to guide us, spirits from the other world. We knew that the universe was too big for us to understand. We knew that there was life in every leaf and every drop of water. We knew that all living things, including us, were sacred. Then someone decided they wanted to take that power, to take the power of that knowing and become the center of the sacredness, and they declared themselves the priest or arbiter of the sacred. And religion was born, and the wars about whose God was biggest and greatest began. I think religion is obscene. Spirituality, on the other hand, in my humble opinion, enhances life and gives our spirits a place to stretch our wings. From Bridget. You know, in the very recent past, I used to believe that way also. And I came to Bridget's point of view there almost out of desperation, realizing that religion was bunkum, hokum, lies, deceptions, distortions, and nonsense, and wanting desperately to believe that there was something other than the chemical reactions that go on inside, for example, my skin. And I studied everything, read everything I could, even the nonsensical stuff. I mean, I read the Seth Speaks books. I read Carlos Castaneda. I just poured it in as much as I could, wanting desperately to believe in the power of spirit. I spent so many years at the YMCA as a kid growing up, and that triangle that they have, the three points on the triangle are mind, body, and spirit. And, I've had mind and body exercise to the extent that anyone my age has growing up and into adulthood. And as far as spirit is concerned, I probably took a fairly typical path, typical in this country, Protestant Christian upbringing. That's what the majority of us did. And then to the next steps, as you get older, you start to challenge and question normal consequence of you know, hitting your teen years and your young adulthood and so on and so forth. And I have desperately wanted to believe in something other than the physical reality. But try as hard as I can. I can talk about it. I can play with it. I can pretend. But either I have lost that ability or have outgrown it. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. Maybe it's nothing more than losing the ability to see beyond the physical world. I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. Because I don't think spirituality condemns us because we've lost the ability to see. You know, that's what Carlos Castaneda kept talking about, the ability to see, to really see. Not you know, you have to be familiar with his writings to understand what I'm saying. But that's what he constantly talked about, how to see things rather than just look at things and have them make an impression on your corneas. Or whatever.
Ground control to Major Tom.
I'm sorry.
We have some callers who...
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Well, that's what a producer does. I was thinking earlier, there are two people missing in action here on this program, and I'm starting to get a bit concerned. If you're a regular listener, if you've been a participant in this program over the years, there are two callers, Jerky and Brother Sky Blue. Jerky always called from an undisclosed location, and that's what makes me nervous. I wonder if he's been detained. And Brother Sky Blue always called from Memphis and would sometimes talk for 10 seconds or 2 minutes. It depended, you know, how long his cell phone battery would last. But if anyone knows where Jerky or Brother Sky is located, get in touch with him. Tell him to call the program, will you?
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from Illinois. Joe, welcome to the program.
Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh, hear you fine.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you something but about Bush, but I listened to the program. I have something else entirely different now.
Okay, well, go ahead.
You were, I guess the issue now that you've been on for a while now has been racism, and I truly believe that the source of hatred, so much hatred in this country, and the ability to make war with countries has so much to do with racism and prejudging of people before you even get to know people. There are so many things that are so many ideas that are prejudged. Just because one person is called a certain thing, like a Muslim or a African American or a Mexican, whatever category a person's in, people automatically prejudge them. And it just amazes me how you can speak against racism so passionately when you yourself. I have a lot of things against Bush too. He's not perfect, but neither am I. You know, there is not a single person on the face of this planet that's perfect. And I truly believe that.
Well, let me ask you something. Have you ordered the bombing of a civilian population that has resulted in the deaths of tens of thousands of people?
Well, we've bombed.
You know, I agree with you. He's not perfect, Joe. He's a goddamn murderer.
Hey,
what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Get off my program, you psychopath! God.
Let me get this straight.
I'm sorry, Kathy. Hold on a minute. I said the GD word, and I swore I was going to stop cussing.
You're a racist because you don't like Bush?
Oh, never mind. You know, I get these idiots, these freaks, these people have the IQ of a gently stewed rhubarb stalk. And, you know, because I'm a liberal, I put them on until they say enough that hits my trigger. And then I say a bad word. And then all my affiliates go nuts because they don't like bad words, and I understand why they don't, because it's a clear mark of ignorance, and I apologize to everybody right now. Oh.
You know, maybe he's not so bad, you know. Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I mean, who could be perfect?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. He's only been responsible for a few 10,000 deaths. I mean, I know.
And we crossed the threshold.
What do you want?
We crossed the threshold of 3,500 dead Americans now as a result of Bush's toxic narcissism. 3,500 dead.
Well, and there are
American,
a lot of cripples.
And another 20,000 who are forever crippled and maimed, yeah. And 50,000, 100,000, 600,000 dead Iraqis. Look, let me just say something to all you incipient right-wing half-wits who want to call this program. Please don't. You know, I used to invite you to call. Call Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman is a patient man. He knows how to deal with you. I want to cut your damn throat, figuratively speaking, of course. That's why I hang up on you, because I don't like you. You make me ill. To defend a murdering a psychopath like George W. Bush is beyond anything I can comprehend. So, to you right-wingers, the next time you want to call, do something to stop yourself from doing that, even if you have to cut off your hand, please.
I suggest they just snap a little rubber band around their wrist repeatedly anytime they get the unnatural urge to call the program.
No, I would rather know that they're taking a little hatchet and chopping off their hand so that they can't dial. Oh!
All right. No, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, nobody's.
No, you can't expect perfection.
Yeah, you can't. That's certainly true. All right, back to your phone calls. Will is calling from Southern California. Hey, Will.
How are you doing, Mr. Malloy?
I'm doing all right.
I hope this telephone call finds you and your family, present circumstances accepted, in the last caller, well.
Oh, yeah, we're all just doing fine.
Well, hey, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because I've always believed that people should believe in something, and if they really believe in it and it's true, it'll take, and other people will pick up on it. Yeah. And I suspect you're such a person. Yeah. But anyway, I had a question.
Well, wait a minute. Don't. I mean, you just gave me a kiss, and you were promising me sex.
No.
Let's have the rest of that. You believe I'm a person that believes in something. What do you mean?
I believe that you honestly believe in what you say.
Yeah.
Publicly. I mean, that's what you do for a living. You speak publicly. And whether it's true or false, or whether I agree with you or not, I have to respect you, because you're willing to put your neck out on that block and say, hey, this is what I believe in. And I don't have a problem with anybody that does that, even if they're crazy.
Well, I do.
I'm not saying you're crazy.
Well,
please.
George Bush believes in what he's doing, murder and mayhem. No,
I hear what you're saying, but
well, there's got to be a line drawn someplace. And let me make this clear.
Yes, sir.
Let me make this clear too. What I do on the air is exactly what I do off the air. I do not have a radio persona.
Exactly.
That's why I slip up and say cuss words. In my real life, I say cuss words. And I hate it when I say cuss words. I try not to say them around my almost 3-year-old child, and I pretty much succeed at doing that. But what you hear on this program is not a radio guy. What you hear is just me sitting around talking with people like you. That's all.
Mr. Malloy, I believe that. I believe that the first time I heard you speak on the radio.
Okay, all right.
I don't have a problem with that at all, or you.
Okay.
I think you're a heck of a decent guy. Now, I don't know if you're a nice guy. You do cuss a lot, but you're a decent guy.
Okay.
But I have a question about the impeachment thing.
Right.
And I realize you've already voiced your opinion on what you felt about how come they don't do it if they've got this.
Right.
You know, this all these facts. It's like, and I thought, wow, why aren't they doing it?
Right.
And I'm wondering, if there is, and I'm asking you, your listeners, anyone who is an expert in constitutional law and the laws of our land, all the various laws, if there is some legal mechanism in place where a politician, albeit maybe a president or a legislator, whatever, if they break the law, once they're out of office, can they still be charged and convicted and incarcerated?
I don't know. My producer, Catherine Bay, is nodding her head yes. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, all I'm getting at is that maybe, and I realize that a lot of the Democrats seem to be afraid of this, we'll just call it a monster for lack of any other word that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they feel they don't have enough voices or enough votes or whatever would be required to accomplish this completely and without any question, just bang, it's over. And they would rather have those voices, a substantial number of voices and whatever, to make this happen. If there are laws in place for this sort of thing, maybe they're thinking, and I can't say they're thinking if they're voting with the guy, but they're waiting for that time that the man is out of office and he's fair game, just like the rest of us.
Well, I don't know. I think there are protections.
I find that kind of a convoluted kind of thinking, but maybe they're just flat scared, and it's the only thing they can come up with.
Well, let me put it this way.
How can they say they believe in something, and then they vote against it?
All right, let me put it this way, Will. The Republicans knew damn good and well in 1998, 1999, that they didn't have the votes to impeach Bill Clinton. But the Republicans had an agenda, and the agenda was to destroy the Democratic Party, and to destroy the confidence of the people, what was left of it in this country, in our system of self-government, so that they, the Republicans, could put in place of representative government their brand of neo-fascism. The impeachment of Clinton, even though he was not convicted by the Senate, the impeachment of Clinton wounded our system of self-governance. And I believe that the Democratic Party leadership at this point has a case a million times more valid than the tripe that the Republicans used to go after Clinton. And I believe that the Democratic Party leadership that refuses to follow the Constitution and bring this bastard to justice is committing a crime. That's a crime itself. The Democrats took an oath, too, to support and defend the Constitution, and they're not doing it.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
Well, good for you. 10 before the hour. Thanks to the usual gang of highwaymen who made this program possible tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered the... all right, come on. Blah, 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 blah. Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix, also answered your calls. Billy Foster, Nova M Radio CIO, who is the moderator at the NovaMRadio.com chat room, to which I was unable to pay a visit tonight. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and Catherine Bay, the executive producer of this program. And if you haven't yet, please go to NovaMRadio.com and sign up to be a founding member. Sign up for downloads and podcasts. Just do it. Unless you don't love me anymore, in which case, to hell with it. It is about 9 before the hour. Douglas is calling from Sacramento, California. Hey, Douglas.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
First off, I have an apology I've been meaning to give you. You were right and I was wrong about, Bush skating over that warrantless wiretapping thing. I was convinced that he wouldn't, that a sitting president couldn't admit to and advocate felonies and still stay in office, and you were totally right.
Well, only because Bush has driven me, along with most of the country, totally, well, not totally, but partially insane. And, you know, no mea culpa is necessary on your part. We're dealing with a madman here who's trying to make the rest of us insane by osmosis, and by God, he's succeeding.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to get scared. I'm thinking of that emergency decree or whatever you talked about a
right,
couple of times.
Right, yeah, the directive, presidential directive that gives him all the power in the world.
So I'm going to say something. I'm getting scared that there's not going to be a successful election, that they're going to have to haul a little twit out kicking and screaming if they manage to do that. And I hope to God I'm wrong about that!
Well, there's a lot of people that share that fear. I probably get at least 20 emails a week, which isn't a massive amount, but most of those emails, the subject matter is whether or not Bush is going to allow an election in 2008. What, Kathy?
Well, this is especially troublesome in light of the substantial news story that may or may not be true about the JFK bombing attempt and how it looks like it was a CIA setup.
Right, right. Or something to benefit the Republican Party.
Does anybody remember those guys who were supposed to be getting ready to commit a terrorist bombing against some building in Chicago?
They were hooked
up with an FBI informant. They wanted him to get them combat boots.
Yeah, the ones in Miami who have just totally disappeared from the radar scope. You know, six or seven guys who were approached apparently by an FBI thug who said, "Yo, y'all want some boots? You want some guns? You want to have some fun? Come here, let's talk about blowing up the Sears Tower." And, you know, these guys are going, "What the, you know, what? What, the new boots? Sure, what do you want to talk about, man?" Next
we
thing
can
they
be terrorists, sounds like fun.
Right, the next thing you know, they're all being held by the federal authorities for involving themselves in a terrorist plot. I don't know what happened to those people. You know, all of this domestic terrorism stuff, to me, is an absolute lie and a continuation of the plot line of these sorry bastards that run this country. I'm sorry, I just don't believe any of it.
I think it all started with Reagan. When the Soviet Union self-destructed on his watch, it was like he was standing on a street corner and a Brinks truck ruptured right in front of him.
right, that's
and
true.
And I think the Republicans have been busy making things like that happen ever since.
Yeah. You know, Reagan was, who said it? He was an amiable dunce. I'm sure he was a nice guy, except for the fact that he spied for the FBI against his own union members and the Screen Actors Guild back in the late 40s. He was not the brightest man ever to occupy the office. Matter of fact, he was one of the more stupid. He thought he was playing a part. I'm now playing the part of the President of the United States. Reagan was an amiable dunce. I agree with whoever said that.
But he had the soul of a narc.
He did. And the Republicans hold him up as some standard. Why? Because the American public, for some reason, liked him. And I know why they liked him. For 25 years prior to his being elected president, he came into our homes every week on the GE Theater, on the, what was it, the 20 Mule Team Borax program? What the hell was that about the West?
Death Valley Days.
Death Valley Days.
How old are you?
I'm 1,000 years old, Kathy. That's what these cobwebs are all about. But Reagan was a familiar face in you know, he was in, what was that, oh God, what was that, a movie where his legs were cut off and his bio was called Where's the Rest of Me? King's Row. He was in King's Row. He was a wonderful grade B actor, nice guy, never played a heavy that I'm aware of. America loved him as an actor, so it was very easy to make the transformation from actor in Hollywood to actor in Washington, and that's all he ever did. But the Republicans fall all over themselves. Well, I'm the new Reagan. No, I am. No, I am. I'm the Reagan. I'm Reagan. I'm the new Reagan. They make me sick. Douglas, I got to go.
Bless you.
All right. Thanks for
see
checking
you next time.
All right. See you next time. For those of you who are holding on, I'm sorry, but we're just not going to get to your call tonight. But thanks for trying. And thanks to everybody for participating in the program tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.